Unafraid. Uninfluenced. Unleashed. You're listening to American Unleashed.
Welcome to another episode of American Unleashed. I am your host, and we are here to talk a little bit this week about our subject is going to be the freedom of the press, the next part of the five freedoms of our United States Constitution's First Amendment. And I want to welcome you. Hope you're having a great day. It's a little overcast here in the Ozark Mountains, but we are still enjoying the day as best we can. But we got quite a few news stories, and it's kind of ironic since we are covering the freedom of the press today. But we're going to a new segment we're going to do. We're having a little fun here, poking some fun at some of those folks out there who just make statements that are so out on left field, no pun intended, but just so far out there, it is just staggering how these people make it in front of a television camera. And we're going to talk about Sonny Houston of The View, who this past week, actually blamed the earthquake up in the Northeast and the eclipse, and said that she had read somewhere, she never said where, but she had read and understood that this was all due to climate change, which, of course, she wasn't talking about actual climate change. She was talking about global warming, this supposed man-made disaster that is killing the whole entire Earth with every second. We've only got, 12 more? From what AOC said, I think we've only got 8 more years until the planet just... Well, did you see that scene in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where the world just kind of poof, blips out? I guess that's what's going to happen to us at any moment, according to AOC and Al Gore and the other people on this global warming kick. But she of course misused the term climate change, because anybody with a brain knows that climate change and global warming are two extremely different things. Climate change is a legitimate scientific term. Global warming is not. And we've got an episode coming up about that too, where we're going to talk about global warming versus climate change and all the stuff involved with that, along with environmental and ecological and conservation issues that are real compared to the ones that are not real. So, no, the Earth is not flat, for any of you who might want to try to make that claim. We know the Earth is not flat, and in no way are we inferring that. But, yeah, Sonny got on there, and even Whoopi Goldberg had to kind of laugh at her and correct her. And Sonny was still trying to push it, even when Whoopi corrected her. And I'm like, you're getting corrected by one of the most lunatic people on the air, and she is correct on this particular episode, and she's still, well, I read it somewhere. I know it had to have been true because I read it somewhere. And so Sonny Houston is our very first nut of the week. My apologies to cashews and pecans and all the other legitimately good nuts out there, but Sonny Houston is our nut of the week for that kind of a statement. The earthquake in the Northeast and the eclipse were because of global warming. Not the term she used, but essentially what she was meaning towards. We did have the eclipse the other day. If you saw it, it was basically 4 hours of looking like it was going to rain outside. If you weren't actually looking up at the sun, it just looked dark, overcast. It was kind of cool because you still had a lot of the shadows you normally do under full sunlight, but it was unique in one way and very, very plain in another. But it was still kind of a cool thing. The earthquake, of course, in the Northeast, they claim was a 4.8, yet did no real sustainable damage, which... a little contradictory. I think the number has probably been exaggerated on the level of magnitude, or they had damage they're not wanting people to know about, because after all, New York City is supposed to be indestructible in the center of the universe and blah, 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 blah. Now, the one who almost made our nut of the week was New York Times and CNN analyst, and that's in quotes because if this is what they call an analyst, boy, I would really hate to see what they call it. Well, we've seen what they call experts. But Maggie Haberman... got called out by Charles Barkley, of all people, the NBA legend. And Charles basically asked her if she ever got tired of talking rhetoric instead of actually addressing issues. And it was really interesting to see him confront her this way. And he did it on Gayle King's show, which Gayle King, she's like a Sonny Houston or a Joy Reid. She's a very radical, anti-American, race-baiting type person. Everything is Trump's fault. Everything is everything is blamed on racism. If you disagree, you're a racist. If you don't like this, you're a racist. So she's one of those types. And Haberman was there trying to act very sincere about all the talk she was doing. All the talk she was doing was about all these trumped-up charges against Donald Trump and acting as if these are actual issues when it's all just rhetoric to get people to not pay attention to the real issues. So Barkley called her out on it, which was a good thing for Sir Charles. Thank you to him, the man who actually looks like he's got a basketball sitting on top of his neck, and that bald head. But I've always been a fan of Charles Barkley, basketball-wise. But yeah, he called her out, said, did she ever get tired of talking about the rhetoric instead of actually addressing issues? And she gave a very non-answer and then claims that the attacks on Trump actually are issues, which they're not. They have nothing whatsoever to do with actually real issues. If we actually wanted to talk about corruption, we've got a lot about the Bidens we could go into. But speaking of the damage being done by the left, California businesses are reeling after the April 1st raise in the state minimum wage requirements, $20 an hour, which included all fast food workers. And they were talking about one business in particular that had shut down, and how the employees basically showed up Monday morning. There was a sign on the door that said, sorry, we're shut down. They got their final checks, and that was it. And all of them, of course, were acting like victims and acting like something terrible had happened to them. No, you people in California done this to yourself. And do a little digging, do a little real research, and you make sure you turn off the TV to do that. And you dig around, you find out there were actually hundreds of businesses across the state of California that shut down on April 1st because of this. They just went ahead and said, we're not going to play this game. We're going to go ahead and cut our losses here. And we're going to go ahead and shut it down April 1st. That way we don't even get caught up in this ridiculousness. But these states with these gigantic minimum wages, they've got businesses shutting down right and left. People are fleeing those states and they're going to other states. And unfortunately, they are taking their ignorance and their poor voting habits with them and will create the same problems in other places that they created in California and Oregon and Washington State. But Oregon and California especially, where they demand these ridiculous minimum wage. Honestly, their minimum wage is higher than it should be right now anyway, because you're talking about minimum wage for minimum effort because of minimum skill and minimum effort. And most of these people doing minimum wage jobs have no clue what the term work ethic is. They wouldn't know customer service if it fell on them. Yet they want $20 an hour for putting a pickle on a bun. And that's as much or more as our first responders are getting. And that's a crime in itself. But, of course, the left would say, well, why don't you just pay the others more? Well, you just can't keep paying more and more, paying more and more, paying more and more. Where do you get the money? Well, we tax the rich. Well, we can show you the numbers on that, too, and tell you that they're already paying far more than their fair share. We've been over those numbers again. We'll go over them again in a future episode. But the fact is that the top 1% pay over 40% of the income taxes. The top 10% pay over 70% of the income taxes, and the bottom 50% pay none of the income taxes. Zero. Those are your figures, people, on who's paying what. Sticking with some more out of California, the star of the film Black-ish, which if you ever want to see a movie that is a study in racism and race baiting, there's your movie. Jennifer Lewis is now blasting the, and I'm going to quote here, please forgive my language, we don't do it very often, I know it's a podcast, so we can say any damn thing we want to, but her words, she blasts the fucking idiots who don't see that Trump as Hitler. So if you don't see Donald Trump as an Adolf Hitler type person, according to this woman, you're a fucking idiot. Proving the fact that this woman's obviously never even opened a history book, let alone tried to read one. Because folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you ever hear anyone try to refer to Donald Trump as Adolf Hitler or Chairman Mao or any of these mad dictators like this, don't even continue a conversation with them. They are hopeless. They're ignorant of the modern news. They are ignorant of history, because you're talking about some of the most horrid people in people who were willingly and in some cases almost happily committing genocide of people they did not like and did not feel were worthy of this world. Yet Donald Trump is the first president to come along who sacrificed his own salary, who has been trying to do stuff for the people instead of trying to feed the everlasting monster of the establishment that controls this two-party system. So he wasn't beholden anyway. That's why everybody's attacking him from both sides. He's far from perfect. He's no angel, believe me. I'm never going to sit here and try to sell Donald Trump as any kind of messiah in any way, shape, or form. He's not. I've been following the man since the 80s. There's a lot of ways that he's just an upright asshole. But the fact is he's still head and shoulders above Obama, the Clintons, and the Bidens all put together, because he's actually fighting for us instead of a system that just doesn't work. In another story around the world, let's stick with another actor here. Actor Billy Dee Williams has recently stated that he thinks it's okay for actors to wear blackface because they are actors and they're playing a role. He made this announcement or this through a CNN article. And, of course, I went through and I looked at the comments, and about 99% of the people who were attacking him and telling them that he was a sellout and calling him names were white liberals. I saw very few comments from black people at all. And again, this is another one of those deals where they're saying, oh, well, no, you minorities, you just be quiet and let us take care of you. We'll tell you when you're offended. When Billy Dee Williams was actually making a very good clear point is that an actor has a job to do. If he has a role that calls for this, for something that's maybe historic, they're talking about movies, filmmaking and such back in the 20s and the entertainment industry from back then, the burgeoning era of the film era or before, where many white actors did wear blackface, and he said it's okay if it's for a role. It's part of acting. It's part of a performance, and there's nothing wrong with it. And so, of course, immediately all kinds of people go after him and try to slam into that. Got one more about someone from out in Hollywood, and I think we'll switch back up straight up to the politics. Sylvester Stallone is being investigated by Paramount Pictures for, quote, disparaging language, unquote, on the set of his new streaming show, Tulsa King. Supposedly, he's made disparaging comments about people who are ugly. Somebody or someone, people in the background cast who were, quote, lard asses, and including one fat guy with a cane, which I'm a fat guy with a cane. I'm ugly. I don't mind being pointed out. I can understand when you're making a movie, you want certain image to come across on film. So as one of the people he's also a producer on the show, by the way, because he's notoriety in film. But, yeah, they're investigating him for this. And what it is, it's an attack because recently Stallone stepped up and he said that he does not want any more part of the wokeness in Hollywood. He did that. So this is the start of the retribution for that. And it's becoming more and more common with these folks on the left, especially in entertainment, when they speak out and decide to not toe the Democrat line in the narrative, that they're automatically being attacked for all these different kind of things. But anyway, back to the regular politics side. United Nations health workers in North Gaza have exhumed hundreds of bodies and immediately have blamed Israel along with the media. They have no evidence. There's been no investigation. They just unearthed their bodies and automatically said, well, the Israelis must have done this, when actually they found it in an area that had previously been occupied by Hamas. And the head worker who was making all these statements for these supposed health workers was a Muslim. But the fact is, folks, over history, we've seen it, and we saw it on a story several years ago when the media tried to spin it and failed miserably, is that Hamas is very well known for using hospitals and their patients as human shields. It's happened before. It's not uncommon. It is something they do on a regular basis. They use women. They use women's schools, students, schools, all kinds of things as human shields in their wars, and it's normal for them. But they immediately, it's kind of like when there's a gun attack or some kind of a shooting here in the United States, the media automatically wants to start blaming the knuckle-dragging, Bible-thumping Republicans and the Trump supporters. And almost every time, it turns out to be someone who's from the left There's not a single NRA member that's been in one of these mass shootings yet. Back to the O'Bidens here in the States. According to O'Biden, that and yes, O, little O, capital B-I-D-E-N, O'Biden, which, of course, we're not in the first term of Joe Biden. We're in the third term of Barack Obama. It's pretty obvious. He's now saying that a second Donald Trump presidency is the greatest threat to U.S. democracy, when they've spent the last 2 years telling us that white supremacy is the biggest threat to U.S. democracy. So they're flip-flopping back and forth on that. And so also, in a story we did a couple of weeks ago about Planet Fitness, the company founder has said that the company's pretty much destroyed after this second major scandal, where they've had an open-door policy to allow men into women's locker rooms. Of course, they cite the gender identity issue, which is a non-issue. It's a false issue, by the way. Basically, we're talking about sexual predators, and we're talking about men who are just disturbed because they think they are something they are not. But they had an open-door policy. A man was in a woman's locker room changing in front of a 12-year-old girl who was wrapped in a towel over in the corner, scared to death because this man was in a women's locker room. He was reported by a real female, member of the gym, and in turn, the gym canceled the membership of the woman who reported the man in the women's locker room. And so there's been a huge backlash towards this. People have been dropping their memberships all over the place. But, of course, again, second major scandal for them, because they had the scandal several years ago about several of their facilities shaming pregnant women out of their facilities because they were fat and didn't look like the Planet Fitness image wanted to portray. And so that's what happened. They ran them out, which I've never been a fan of the company at all. I've tried their facilities, and I've never been impressed with them. I've worked with athletes for 40 years, and I've thought their facilities are pretty laughable. In the next story, we have the media stepping up and claiming, and this was NBC, claiming that Trump was, with violent rhetoric, Trump fights electric vehicles to win Michigan. What is the violent rhetoric he used? Well, Trump said that electric cars and the surge of them would lead to a bloodbath in the U.S. economy, that it would kill the auto industry and would trigger the assassination of jobs. Now, these are terms and these are types of statements that the left use all the time when trying to talk about Republican policies. But, of course, when they use it, it's not a big deal. But when the right use it or Trump uses it, well, then it's fear-mongering and it's violent rhetoric. And this was in the title of the article. This was in the headline. The headline was, "With violent rhetoric, Trump fights electric vehicles to win Michigan." So now they are using these terminologies to label this in the headlines. I mean, this is obvious for what we are going to talk about today, of how messed up our media is and how far they have gone away from journalism. Because this article, folks, is not journalism at all. This is 110% propaganda. It is rhetoric itself. And fear-mongering through a flip side of it, trying to say, well, this guy is the terror, this guy is the scary one, when in reality it's just showing off how hypocritical the left and their media are. And also in another story, Hamas says they have they can't find 40 Israeli hostages that are, quote, needed for the first round of ceasefire. They say that they scattered them out, and they're not sure where all of them are, which tells me a lot of them are probably dead. They've probably been bumped off, and they're now panicking because they don't have this number to work with. We've seen what they do in the past. We know that the real terror is on the Islamic side of all of this, and the fake nation of Palestine. Again, another way to tell when you've got somebody who you're probably not going to get through with is if they're saying that Palestine are the good guys and that Israel are the bad guys, you're dealing with someone who obviously doesn't know the issues and has no clue what's going on in the world. And in our final regular news story, the O'Biden regime this is a good one. You want to talk about overstepping and who does what. The Biden regime is preparing to prevent Americans from using Russian-made software, claiming that it's going to be a problem with national security. I understand that Joe Biden made this announcement while doing the flossing dance on TikTok. Well, maybe not that, but you know, we do know that TikTok is owned by China. It is a program straight from them that gives that program all access to your phone if you have it downloaded in there. And nobody bothers to read these policies. Just say, do you agree to the terms and conditions of this? And they just go, well, yeah, because it's fun. Everybody's doing it, man. And what it does is it gives them full access to your photos, your phone, your camera, all kinds of things with that. And you agree to it in that. But they don't say a word about it. And when you do, they claim that you're spreading hate speech and you're being hateful towards China and all this stuff. But the government wants to overstep their bounds and tell you you cannot use Russia, that software that's made in Russia, because it might be a security risk. They're not even coming up and saying it is a security risk or how it's a security risk. They're just telling you we're not going to let you use it because it's made over there and we think that, well, we can't let you use that. But folks, I mean, there's so many articles in here today we talk about that hit straight to the issue we're going to go into today, and that is, of course, the freedom of the press, the third part of our discussion on the First Amendment of our Constitution. And I want to talk about a couple of things here. First of all, a lot of this change happened after World War II. In World War II, the press was doing a lot of what they should have done. They used stories. They did some things that weren't necessarily right, in that sometimes they did exaggerate or say things differently for the purposes of morale here in the United States. They wanted people to be upbeat about things and not get down and out about it. But even with that, for a while, we had a big, big time of bad morale here in the United States during World War II. And it wasn't until the Doolittle Raid over Tokyo that and other cities that got the morale back up here in the States, because we proved that Japan's could be attacked. And first of all, I'm not saying an attack on Japan was good. I've got a lot of friends over there. This is a long time ago that it happened, but if we're going to dig into the history of this, we have to see that the enemies of freedom saw this in World War II and said that this is where we need to take control of the media. And that is when a huge shift happened. Because if you look at the change between then and Korea and how the media handled things, or if you want to go even a farther swift change, look at how the media acted between World War II and Vietnam. And I will admit, I am one of the people who feels we should not have been in Vietnam. Once we were there, treating our soldiers like garbage was wrong. It was the decision makers who should have been held accountable and should not have been people bad-mouthing our troops, calling them names when they came home, spitting on them. That was just wrong. They were doing what they were told. They were a lot of them were drawn in by the draft at very young ages, didn't know a lot about the world, didn't know a lot about life, and many of them came home very, very scarred for the things they did over there that they felt they were supposed to do or had to do by being ordered to. And it's no excuse. I was following orders, was used in World War II by some very horrible people, but very horrible people also use that here in the States who are making the decisions over that. But if you look at how the journalists covered it, and one of the, I use a lot of pop culture to let you see how this happens. The TV show MASH did an episode about this for Korea, where basically a guy came and questioned for unpatriotic behavior and possible association with socialists. And who did he pick? He picked one of the most hardcore U.S. Army patriotic people in the camp, Margaret Houlihan, Hot Lips Houlihan, and basically started reaming her over the coals. Who are your friends? All this stuff, to the point where she was questioning herself. And what it was a statement to the trials that went on in Washington, D.C., over socialists and socialism, and how they were trying to pinpoint people who were friends with socialists and blackballing people in Hollywood who had certain opinions. There were certain writers who were used. There was a writer Leonard Maltz, who was going to be used by Frank Sinatra to write a screenplay, and everybody from John Wayne to everybody else jumped on board because he had been blackballed by these McCarthy trials. Senator Joseph McCarthy, who I've seen a lot of people on the right try to claim he was a hero and all this. Sean Hannity's tried on several occasions, and he's just plain wrong. McCarthy was a piece of garbage. It was witch hunts 101. This again goes back to the old saying of, well, the road to, what is it, good intentions, or the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I don't care what intentions he had, the manners and the tactics that they used were fascist style. And so they did an episode on it of MASH where they attacked, again, one of the most patriotic characters on the whole thing, Margaret Houlihan. And I believe it was in the Colonel Potter era of the show. And, of course, he fought back, and he chewed this guy left, right, and sideways. And the guy tried to come back at him. Oh, what are you doing? Are you protecting us? And that was the wrong thing to do to Colonel Sherman Potter because he laid into him again. It was a good episode. But the media has been changed so much since World War II. The media used to be so pro-American, but they did their jobs. They were journalists. We don't have journalism anymore. We have sensationalists and we have propagandists. We have very, very few journalists anymore. You could probably count the number of journalists. I mean, you might have to take off one shoe and count the number on two hands and a shoe for the number of actual journalists we still have in the United States. The rest of them, as I said, are sensationalists and they're propagandists. We had some local people. We've still got a few local people in Springfield who will still stand by their convictions and say, no, I'm not reporting this. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not going to say names. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But one young lady in Springfield I know who is an amazing young woman. I've had the pleasure of being friends with her for years. But she will still sit there and say, no, I'm a journalist. I'm going to say this, but I'm not going to say that. And I hope she keeps it up. Because journalistic integrity, our next subject, is dying off faster than a comet could have taken out the dinosaurs. Because journalistic integrity, trying to find that today, you're more likely to find a picture of Bigfoot while riding the Loch Ness Monster and singing Ave Maria than you are to find anybody left with journalistic integrity. Bill O'Reilly claims to be a journalist. Okay? Bill O'Reilly's a talk show host. And an insanely egotistical talk show host at that. But then again, you've got other people. You've got folks on the left all the time. And here in a minute, we're going to talk about a study that was done several years ago, and it was a stack deck study. It was not serious. It should not be taken seriously. But to go back and do a little more in history, we talk about a little something called yellow journalism. Yellow journalism is basically the old school term for spin, because what you do is you take an issue and you use it in a manner of which it's a negative way. And how it all started was over the word thespian. And since I'm broadcasting from an entertainment town, a lot of people here would know what it is. A thespian is an actor, is a performer. But because of the way the word sounded 100 and some years ago in a newspaper, when a lot of people didn't know what it was, it sounded like thespian, lesbian, or some other perverted type of thing. I'm not saying lesbians are perverted, but back at the time, all that was considered that. But they used the term, and they used it in such a way, in a connotation that made it seem dirty, to basically blackball and harm the career of an individual. And through that entire story right there is where the term yellow journalism came in. Today we know yellow journalism, as I said, as spin. And let me tell you, a lot of people, I mean, every one of these talk shows, I don't care if it's a right or the left, every one of them should have Maytag as a sponsor because of the way everybody's got a spin cycle, even Bill O'Reilly. I don't care what he says. We're in the no spin zone. Oh, give me a break, Bill. Scotty on the Enterprise could not plan how fast you're spinning. We couldn't. You're up above a warp speed that he'd ever come up with, and the same with all of them. Again, we're going to have another episode where we're going to directly talk about the talking heads, and those of you who are fans of different talking heads probably aren't going to like me after that episode, but we're still going to do it because we need to. Because they do, they come out and they try to tell you that they're right and that you should take their word for it. I do not do that. I challenge you not to take my word for a damn thing I say. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to get online and say, well, you heard so-and-so say this on American Unleashed, so, oh, it must be true. If he's, no, I don't want you to say that. I will come after you for that if I see you online. I want you to do the research. I want you to take what I say and be angry with it and find the truth behind it. I could give you references all day long, but some people don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. They don't care to. So I'm challenging you to do so. I'm giving you the bullet points. I'm giving you the bullet points to load your gun and walk into the research and find out the truth. Shoot through the rhetoric. Shoot through the nonsense. Shoot through the spin and the yellow journalism, the sensationalism and the propaganda, and find the truth. Expose it. Bring it out of the light as much as you can. I want everybody doing this. Because one person doing it isn't going to work. We need everybody to do it. Albert Einstein once made a quote. He said, "There will come a time when the rich own all the media, and it will be impossible for the public to make an informed opinion." He said that in 1949. And that's just not brilliant. It's almost prophetic, because today, less than 12 entities, people, companies, however you want to word it, less than 12 own well over 80 to 85% of the media in the world, whether it be a corporation or an individual or a country, because in many of these socialist countries, the government owns the media and controls the media. So if you really narrow it down, you've got an insanely small number of people who are the ones putting all this out there, and that's why I chose to do this show and to speak out and to call them out and say, listen, these people are lying to you through their teeth. Turn off the television. Please watch your regular shows. I want you to watch shows that you enjoy watching. You know, binge watch WKRP in Cincinnati like I did the other day, or I dug up the old detective show Mannix. Find this. I watched The Muppet Show the other day. Find this stuff to entertain yourself. But when it comes to news and what's going on in the world, just get little bits and pieces and then shut them off. Turn off the news channels and dig into these issues for yourself and dig deep. And again, that starts by finding things that say things you disagree with, because it encourages you to think for yourself. Sensationalism and accusations will cover the front page of a newspaper, when it comes time for an acquittal or a retraction, it's further back in the newspaper than the grocery ads. Why? Because they don't want to admit they were wrong. Why? Because their sensational headline sold them a bunch of newspapers or sold them a bunch of airtime. And that's just wrong. Journalism is supposed to be about the who, what, when, where, why. And it is not supposed to contain the opinion of the people reporting it at all. That's why Walter Cronkite was so good at what he did. He gave you the who, what, when, where, why, and you did not know his feelings. He simply said, this is how it is. And that's the way it is. That's what he finished with. And that's the way it is. Because he would just give you the simple facts of the case, and then you could come up with your own opinions. He was a great man, and we miss him. We did not see the emotion out of him until the Kennedy assassination, and yes, he did get very emotional over that, but he still never, within the context of when he was reporting news, he never let his own feelings cloud what he did as a journalist. Now, back in the day, we had journalists and we had columnists. Now, a journalist is a reporter. They are someone who are, again, the who, what, when, where, why. They simply, if you remember the old TV show Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. That's all it's supposed to be. Now, columnists were opinionators. They were people who'd come in and write their opinion the way they do. And a few paper people in the media industry will still call it that. And I was asked to a couple of times for local papers here and there. I never got into the regular stuff, but I did a lot of letters to the editor after serving on the editorial advisory board for the Springfield News Leader. And so I did a lot of them. But that was an important thing back in the day. A letter to the editor was something special. Somebody had the courage and the time and the devotion to talk about what they wanted within the context of showing it off to the entire community. And I did several of those. But today we've got the internet, where everybody has a platform that they can talk about and many times show off their ignorance. Not necessarily about everything. Sometimes it's one thing, sometimes it's two things, and I'm it. But yes, there are some people out there who, every time they get online, what they state is completely wrong. For the most part. I won't say completely wrong. Nobody's ever 100% wrong. Nobody's ever 100% right, it seems like. But, you know, we had this differentiation between journalists and opinionators. Now, recently in court, and for some reason they're still putting them up there with their fact checkers on Facebook, But in a courtroom not that long ago, Facebook had to admit in open court that their fact checkers are not actually fact checkers. They're simply opinionators. Yet online, they still call them fact checkers. You will still put something up online and you will get a little deal below your post that says this has been fact checked by so-and-so. Several of the groups were 100% created for this. They were not long-term running. They have USA Today and a couple other ones that are older, but many of them were created solely for the purpose of being these fake news sources to say, oh, no, this is wrong. And we talked about a while back that photo that's online of the electric car getting charged up by a trailer running on gas, diesel gasoline, being towed by a regular car. And Facebook tries to say, oh, that's not exactly what's happening. Well, yeah, because I think it's exactly what's happening here. That's 100% what's happening there. But they try to say it's not with these fake fact checkers. So a lot of times when you've been fact checked by Facebook, you can pretty much guarantee that they're speaking out because you're telling somebody the truth and they don't want that out there. But the letter to the editor was a very big part of the community back in the age of print media when everybody read the newspaper in the morning. And that's one of the reasons that powers that be have decided to make print media pretty much a dinosaur. And it's sad because if you watch some of these old shows with these people, the other night I watched All the President's Men, starring Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, and it is truly one of the most beautiful pieces of cinematic art ever put together. It is a great detective story. They did it so well. The story of Woodward and Bernstein, who exposed what happened with Richard Nixon and the Watergate tapes. And you watch a movie like that and you understand why movies were made. It is amazing. Whether you agree or disagree with any of the politics in it or all this other stuff, it is a brilliant film. And it was nominated for like 8 or 11 Academy Awards. It took home almost all of them a ton. And it was just, it's a phenomenal movie. And it gives you an idea. We've had other ones the one that has the You Need to Be Angry speech, Network, where Faye Dunaway and Albert Finney get on there, and he's very angry, and he's wet from the deal, and he said, it's time for you to get mad. I want you to go to your window. I want you to open up and scream, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, that's what I want you to do. Is when you see these politicians online and these media people online lying to you, I want you to get online, I want you to go to their pages and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You're lying to us. Tell them straight out. Tell them we're sick of the lies. Because if the people don't speak out, guess what? They're just going to keep doing it. But enough of us speak out and we're going to start making some waves and we'll start making some headway in that. But the more people who sit back and think, well, I don't really want to be mean. That's not very nice. And well, you know what? It's time for you to quit being nice. It's time for you to get mad. We're long past the time. I've said it before. I'll say it again. If our founding fathers were around right now, they'd have already overthrown things, and they'd simply be stacking bodies right now. We'd be long past. And I'm not trying to provoke anything with that. I'm just saying it is time to speak out, everybody. And if we don't do it en masse, we're not going to get anything done. Once again, we've got to talk about a little, we talked about it before, but it rings true here too, the plague known as political correctness and the pandemic known as wokeness, where they're constantly telling you, you can't use this word, you can't use that phrase. If you use this word, it has to be used in a certain way. They want to control words and control language because then you control thought. And that is the goal of the whole thing with the political correctness and the woke movement, is that they want to control how you think. So they want to tell you, you can't say this and you can't say that. But when you say this, you can only say it in a certain way. Or if you say that, well, you can only do this a certain way. And it is so wrong in every aspect of how we're supposed to be here in the United States of America. You're supposed to be able to speak out and call out people, whoever it is, for what they're doing wrong. And again, we go back to the speech by George Carlin about bad words and soft language. And he was so right on about all of that, because we have softened the language so much and wimped it out that words don't have the same meaning they used to. We have this term today, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is this long, drawn-out psychological meaning that you think, oh my gosh, what could this possibly... The original title for that diagnosis was called shell shock. Shell shock. Almost sounds like the bombs themselves that inspired the title during World War One. And it was later changed to battle fatigue, and eventually down to what we now know as post-traumatic stress disorder. And all of the emotion is gone. All of the rage is gone. All of the upsetness of what people had to have been through to be in that condition. And it is being used for so many different things. Even the smallest car wrecks, and even the smallest this or that, or now they are allowing people, there was a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder for one individual who saw a Confederate battle flag on the back of a pickup truck. She saw a sticker of something she doesn't understand on the back of a pickup truck of someone she doesn't know, and is diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, the exact same diagnosis that our troops got in World War One, who suffered from shell shock because bombs were dropping all over them and they were hiding in hot foxholes for their lives. Folks, people who do this just, I mean, I don't want to condone violence, but some people just need the heck the snot slapped right out of them for this kind of ridiculousness, because they are not comparable at all. It's not even close. I'm going to say this. If your kid needs a safe space because of a flag on the back of a truck, you failed as a parent. You really have, and I'll say it to your face. You have failed as a parent if you have a kid who is that weak and who is that clueless about history. And the media is encouraging all this. They want us this soft. They want us this divided. They want us this weakened down. And we're going to talk a little bit in another episode about this deal with passing marijuana as a recreational drug. And it's the truth. You know, they want society doped up and dumbed down as much as possible. Going back to pop culture, the first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, we saw an era between the era we live in now and the era that the show takes place in, where people and soldiers were given drugs to control them. We saw Norm from Cheers playing a guard in Q's little courtroom, where he would had this little tube going to his nose that would feed him drugs to keep him compliant. And we're already in a society that does this. If you look at our schools and how teachers demand children be put on certain drugs for ADHD and other diagnoses they may or may not have, simply to calm them so teachers don't have to do their jobs in controlling a classroom. When I was a kid, teachers controlled the classroom, and you didn't do it, or they had a paddle they'd pull out of their desk and they'd whip your ass with it. I've still got a whelps on my butt from what personally got me in third grade. And I'm thankful for it, because I was being a little shit. I deserved it, and it was part of discipline, and it still should be. When they took the discipline out of her, it has nothing to do with religion. They say, oh, when they took Jesus out of the schools, when we have, no, when you took discipline out of the schools is when we started having our problems. When discipline disappeared and parents got real weak and said, oh, you're not going to spank my child, well, if you did it more often, we wouldn't have to, and that's the damn truth. But the media is the one that's encouraging all this. The media is saying, you know, oh, well, this is abuse, and this is this. If spanking and paddling, that's a physical abuse. No, it's not. Never has been, never would be. Strike a child in the face of the head, that's abuse. Whacking them across the ass with a paddle or a Hot Wheels track or your hand, that ain't abuse, people. That's an attitude adjustment. Plain and simple. And that's fact. But they are constantly running this stuff through a fake media, and the media plays along because they're not journalists anymore. They're propagandists. They're there to change the thought processes of the people watching. We talked about a report earlier. I'll tell you a little bit more about it now. There was a study funded by the United Nations, one of the most corrupt organizations in the world, and they did this about the cable news channels to find out who was the most truthful, who was the most dishonest, and all this. And what do you bet? Fox News was found to be the least truthful. Now, let me give you the parameters of this so you know. Basically, what they did was some news channels, they included everything from news reports, actual, you know, anchor at the desk news reports, to morning talk shows, to late night talk shows and everything else, and said, well, that's all part of the news that they're doing. But then other channels, they said, well, no, the talk shows are talk shows, so they don't really count as news. They're just talk shows. It's opinions. And so it was a very, very stacked deck. It was certain people were treated one way, others were treated another way, instead of being treated the same way across the board as any credible study is supposed to be done. And surprise, surprise, they counted all of the talk shows on Fox, and all the lies were told on there, when honestly, if you probably went and looked through it, probably a lot of the lies being told were the leftists were that were guests on those shows. But of course, they came up with this deal saying that Fox was the most dishonest, and I think that MSNBC was supposed to be the most truthful, which that is about as laughable as it gets. You can watch MSNBC for an hour, and you can just point out the dozens and dozens and dozens of times that they either spin or just flat-out lie to you. But then you get people who will literally use other entities that are not even closely associated, really, with the news, like The View or Entertainment Tonight or SNL or these late-night talk show monologues by Jimmy Kimmel, and they literally think those are news sources. They will. I've had people quote Comedy Central stand-up specials to me from something a comedian said on one of those specials and claim it is a news source, like if they pulled it off of CNN or the New York Times. And that is a complete withdrawal from reality. Our buzz term for the week, and it's one that's been around for quite a while now, is the Fox News buzz term, where basically if you say something that people don't like, oh, well, you spend too much time watching Fox News, apparently. People, I haven't watched any of them in 15 years, and it's any kind of a regular thing. I'll turn some of them on for some laughs. But that's the one they come up with, and you've got to call them out and say, don't you have a new line? Is your record stuck? Because you keep skipping back to the same thing over and over. I notice you don't put out anything of substance. You just tell me I've been watching too much Fox News. And I come back at them and I say, well, I haven't watched Fox News in 15 years. Well, it must be, you know, American, whatever some of those other ones are. And I say, no, I've never been to Breitbart.com, not once. I don't watch OAN or any of these others, One America Network and some of this other stuff. I don't watch them. I used to watch a segment from OAN. It was one of the ladies on there because it was very humorous. I still will pull up some clips on Dennis Miller when he's on some different shows. Dennis is funny to watch because he puts everything in a humorous context, and he's meaning to put it in a humorous context. But it's just, it's for entertainment purposes, really. I don't take any of them seriously. And the fact that these guys will just come out, well, you watch too much Fox News. You got to quit watching Fox News for your alt facts. Well, if they hit you with a Fox News thing, or if they use the term alt facts or alt reality, you know that you're dealing with someone who probably cannot be reasoned with, no matter what evidence you put in front of them. And again, we will go back to the debate between Neil deGrasse Tyson and Kenneth Ham, where Tyson showed to be the far superior intellect at the final question when he said, what would it take to change your mind on any of these subjects? And Neil deGrasse Tyson said, facts. Show me evidence, and I will happily change my opinion. And they went to Kenneth Ham, and they said, well, what would it take to change your mind? Nothing. Nothing you can say outweighs the word of the God in the Bible. And I've run into people on the other side who, I've had people tell me that the only book they need to read is the Bible. And I say, well, have you ever read the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, about this or that? I don't need to. I've got the Bible. And if you're going to limit yourself like that, you are no better than these people on the left who stare blindly into their television with some drool trickling out of their mouth and just parroting whatever they hear from Biden or Hillary or Obama or Rachel Maddow or anybody else. And the same goes for the folks on the right. If you sit there and you just drool over Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and some of these others, or even Tucker Carlson, who Tucker's probably one of the few ones I have the least amount of problem with. although I do have some issues, and again, we will get into that in a few. I forget how far along. We're on episode 6 right now. Next week is the freedom to peaceably assemble, then the redress of grievances, then we're going to talk about the Second Amendment, then we're going to talk about the power of the vote. As we got the vote coming up in November, and we got to talk about how important that is. We're going to talk a little bit about capitalism. We're going to talk about, there we go, episode 12, the doped up and dumbed down nation. And then we're going to do a little down the road on the 10th Amendment, health care, the stink over cow farts, where we're going to talk about the environment, global warming versus climate change. And then down the line after that, we're going to talk about the talking heads. That's how important they are. Episode 17, because they're really not that important. Last week, I brought up the statements by Rush Limbaugh about zoos and aquariums, how he made the statement on his show that, we ought to defund all of them, we ought to tear them all down, sell off the property, sell off the equipment, quit funding this stuff. If you want to learn about an animal, buy an encyclopedia. I remember it very clearly because I remember I used to watch him on a regular basis, especially when Clinton first got into office. They gave him his own TV show, and I watched the show, and not long into that, I realized, after meeting him especially, what a honestly horrible person he was. Because he did that, he came out and openly mocked Michael J. Fox and his medical condition, saying he was faking it, saying that, oh, he was just shaking in his chair just to get sympathy. But you stack that on top of the aquarium deals. And then finally, when Americans really got fed up, we started having these Tea Party rallies, which I was a part of. I started, I set up several of the first ones we had in Springfield. I was part of the setup, and Rush Limbaugh spent 6 months making fun of the Tea Party folks, making fun of us, joking about the hats with the tea bags hanging off of them, which I never wore one of those, but all this stuff, and literally just make, and all of a sudden he saw how many of us there were, and he thought, oh my gosh, those are people I can sell my books to, I better start kissing their butts. And he changed the tune very, very quickly so he could sell his merchandise. That's a good example for these talking heads, is they're all in it for the money somehow, some way. They're not in it for you and I. I don't need to be doing this. I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting endorsements. I'm not getting any funding. I'm paying for this out of my own pocket. Because I want to share this with people, and I want people to understand that your word matters. Your word counts. You have a voice for a reason in this country, and you need to use it. And right now, we all need to use it and stand up to the media and tell them to stop lying, to stop spinning, to just give us the who, what, when, where, why, and we don't give a damn about your opinion. So I don't care if it's Katie Couric or Joy Reid or, and I don't know the name of a lot of these guys, Wolf Blitzer, and I can't even think of anybody really over at Fox, because I don't watch it. Greg Gutfeld, is it Greg Gutfeld, whatever his name is, and the people he has on there, which again, when I do tune in, if I'm on the road for something, it goes on the TV for number one, noise in the room, just so there's something going on while I'm getting ready for a show or whatever, and entertainment purposes, so I can laugh at them, because sooner or later they all say something and you're like, wow, that was insanely stupid, because they'll sit there and say, well, the party is the best thing ever, or they'll say, oh, well, it's God, and oh, no, it's not that. If you're not putting freedom first, I've said that very little in this episode, and sorry about that, but our motto here is freedom first. Freedom first, and if you understand freedom, your freedom is your own, and as long as it is not infringing on the freedoms, liberties, and rights of others, you have those freedoms here in the United States. So we need to put freedom first. And if we understand how our freedoms work and how they work with others, we fix almost every issue very quickly. And each day we're going to try to, each episode we're going to try to go through how freedom first fixes that. And here, freedom first means that the freedom of the press means freedom of journalistic press. It's not a freedom of sensationalism. It's not a freedom of propaganda, where they're trying to tell you it's a news show and then openly lying to you with propaganda and rhetoric. Or they're sensationalizing things just for the sake of headlines and selling newspapers and selling ad time. Again, I told you last week, I said, if you want to prepare for today's show, go to YouTube. Find this old song called Dirty Laundry from the 80s. And almost every song on YouTube has a version where you can read the lyrics along with the song. And I want you to look at the lyrics to that show and tell me that is not exactly what we have in the media today. And worse, we have far worse than what that song went into. And if you really listen to the words of it and you think, well, how bad can it be? And then you look at our media, you're going to sit there and you may cry for as bad as our media has gotten compared to where it once was. So listen to the lyrics of that song. Watch some of today's media, and then go back to YouTube again and find some of these old broadcasts of Walter Cronkite and Charles Kuralt and some of these other legendary figures in the media who, back in their day, they would report the news the way they were supposed to. Find some old articles that were written by Woodward and Bernstein. Don't look at the new stuff by John Woodward. He really sold out and really disgraced himself with the way he turned in his latter years. The story, again, All the President's Men, the movie with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, is a beautiful depiction of the way journalism is supposed to work. There was a newer movie that actually I was amazed got made in our era. It starred Michael Keaton and Glenn Close, Randy Quaid. It was called The Paper. Marissa Tomei is in it as Michael's wife, who's pregnant. She's a journalist, but she's pregnant, out on maternity leave, but she still's got to dig into stories. And they actually shut down the presses to change the title of an article so they make sure they're telling the truth rather than going with a sensationalist headline. And I thought that was so amazing that they would step up and do this movie where these journalists would step up and do the right thing in this era. And you won't see the movie being played on cable news anymore or cable networks anymore because of what it says and what it says about our media. Because if you watch that movie, you're like, wow, these people did the right thing. The rest of the media out here in the real world is not doing the right thing. They want these big headlines, and they want to tell stories about Beyonce's fake country album and claim that, oh, it's number one on all the country charts, when no, today's country charts are a sad joke. They have nothing to do with country music and everything to do with what the record labels want you to believe. And it's just a good movie, The Paper, starring Michael Keaton, Glenn Close, Marissa Tomei, Randy Quaid. Randy plays a journalist. They actually still call it a journalist because he's an opinionator in it. And they make the distinction very, very clear. Because at one point, Randy, he's trying to settle everybody down, so he brings in several stacks of newspaper and fires a gun into them just for the noise to shut everybody up. And it's a funny moment. And it's really a great movie. One of the most underrated dramas we've had in many years, The Paper. But some of the stuff I care, and again, I encourage you, because there's great examples in pop culture to cross over and be able to see what's going on in the world. But All the President's Men, The Paper, two great motion picture examples of what you can go back and watch. The song Dirty Laundry, which I think was Don Henley, from the 80s, which was, like I said, it's almost prophetic as to what happened with the media. It is, in a way, it is absolutely hysterical to watch it and to listen to the words and realize what he was seeing then and what would happen to the media. But then all of a sudden it sinks in and you're going, holy crud, we're actually there. We really are fully 100% there, 110% there now. Because not only are they flat out lying, in some ways they're just making stuff up, like this story we talked about with the bodies in Gaza. How they're saying that, you know, these United Nations health workers in North Gaza have exhumed hundreds of bodies and immediately said it was the Israeli Defense Force that did all this. But the last people to occupy the land were Hamas. And then you see the story about Hamas not really knowing where all their hostages are, not quite sure where the hostages are. We've lost this one. And then there was a hostage that they thought Hamas had, a farmer. His body turned up, been dead for quite a while, yet Hamas was still claiming they had him as a hostage. Folks, it's like the dog in the cartoon where, you know, the mice decide they're sick of cheese, and so if they can't eat cheese, they're sick of living, so they want to feed themselves to the cat, and the cat doesn't want to eat them because they think there must be something wrong with the mice who want to be eaten by the cat, and so the cat goes out and has the dog beat him up. And the cat says, yeah, I want you to murderize me. I want you to beat me to this and that. And the dog pulls out a calculator, one of those old school register things, and he's typing out, and he pulls the tape up, and he says, "It just don't add up." Well, if you go through this stuff, it just don't add up. The media is almost telling us that Israel is the bad guy, and that Hamas are, and Gaza and the Palestine are the victims here, but the facts don't back it up. The history doesn't back it up. Several years ago, we had this story, and the media tried to say, oh, Israel is lobbing bombs into a hospital. Well, that's because Hamas is set up in the hospital and using the patients as human shields and firing weapons into civilian areas of Israel and the Gaza Strip that were being occupied by Israelis. They tell you enough to get you angry at the wrong people. They spin it, they lie, they make it up as they're going along, like this deal with this Muslim doctor who's the head of the United Nations healthcare workers, who said, oh, it must have been Israel. Yeah, like you're going to get anything out of a Muslim, it's going to blame Islamic terror. And it's like, again, when the mass shootings happen, the very first thing the media does, oh, it's these knuckle-dragging, Bible-thumping, red hat-wearing Trump supporters, and who are they going to kill next and all this, and all of a sudden they're really silent about the story because it turns out that the person's a radical Bernie Sanders supporter or a radical Obama supporter or some radical leftist who committed the atrocity. And it's happening every single story, and yet they still keep doing it, and people don't call them out. They don't do nearly enough to call them out. I'm challenging you to call them out. I'm challenging you to do the research. I'm challenging you to put freedom first and to put our Constitution first. And if you do that, it was written in such a way that everything works. I'm challenging you again to speak out, to use your own voice like I do on here. Call the stuff out. If I get something wrong, call me out. If you get something wrong and you try to call it out and say, well, I heard it from American Unleashed, I'm going to call you out and say, no, you got better references than me. Because I, as a talking head, I am never going to ask you to use me as a reference for anything. I want you to take these stories and I want you to run with them and say, oh, well, I want to know more about this, so I'm going to dig into this. But again, remember, digging into a story means reading things you don't necessarily like or that don't necessarily agree with you. So you've got to get out there and dig for the truth, and you've got to expose the truth. You got to put holes in the rhetoric and put holes in the propaganda and show people just how weak today's media is in the nonsense that it spreads. I'm challenging all of you to do this. I'm challenging you once again to put freedom first, because that is what we do here. I thank you for tuning in. I know I've gone maybe a little over today. It is a kind of a gloomy day here in the Ozark Mountains, but I hope wherever it is, the sun is shining on you and will be soon. Please have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful weekend. And please, once again, always keep freedom first.